Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It is the Disruption Zone. I am Leland Conway, along with my partner in crime. And some say this podcast is a crime, Cameron Mills. What up, dude?
Hey, man.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Who says that?
I don't know. I just thought maybe.
It sounds good to say.
We need a hate mail box.
We haven't gotten a single hate mail yet? Well, I see that as a good thing. And what I'm learning the more and more I'm in radio and media is that's not good.
If you're not being divisive and controversial, somebody should hate you.
If you're not being divisive and controversial, no one will listen.
Wait, didn't we do a whole episode on not being divisive and controversial?
Yes. But I'm just saying it's the trade-off of, do we want to grow?
Right.
Then we have to be like the world.
I guess so.
Or we can just be like what we think we truly believe in, which might at some point be controversial,
well,
especially today.
I think we should have discussions.
Fair enough.
So I wanted to have a, you know, talk about one of the issues that's kind of, I don't know if it's controversial because poll numbers show that it's pretty heavily in favor of it, but that our state is talking about right now, and that is legalizing marijuana. And there's two sort of strings on this. There's one that wants to legalize marijuana recreationally and one that wants to legalize it for medicinal purposes only. And I thought we would just kind of wade into that. You know, a lot of people have kind of got their set opinions on this, but
I used to.
Yeah. Well, where were you before?
I was.
Let's start with recreation.
Recreation, I'm probably 50-50 now.
Okay.
Before, I was probably 100% against thinking it's just another anti-sobering agent out there.
Right, right.
I've had conversations with state senators about it recently. Not lobbying them in any way, just really talking about, you know, in friend conversations about where they're saying there's concern about the same thing about,
yeah,
you know, well, you know, I've prosecuted, you know, before they were senators, I prosecuted drunk driving accidents where a kid got hit. Well, this is something else to worry about.
Yeah.
And I get that. I don't know, and this is speaking out of ignorance, but I don't know that it's intoxicating in the same way as alcohol. I don't know that that's a big issue. I don't know it's become a big issue out in places like Colorado or Washington or California now, in the states where it is legal recreationally. Medicinally, I'm mad it's not legal in Kentucky. I'm mad that we're going to be among the last states in the country to do something we should have done a long time ago again, because I think there's too much evidence that there is, if we're going to legalize opiates that can cause death.
Correct.
Why aren't we legalizing something that doesn't necessarily cause death, directly at least, isn't nearly as addictive, isn't nearly as detrimental, and is showing to have, in a lot of ways, a lot of the pain benefits that the opiates have? What are we thinking
here? Right. One of the main arguments I hear against legalizing it medicinally is that we don't have the research on it, which I kind of laugh at that.
Yeah.
Because, one, I've seen a lot of research that says, yes, it is good. But, two, even if you didn't, how many times have we seen those ads on TV? If you took sortartan and, you know, got liver cancer, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, they did all their due diligence on that.
Yeah.
There's people out there dying from the daggum medicine. So, and then to your point about opioids, we obviously have an explosion. And I saw one study that really kind of blew my mind was that the states that have legalized medical marijuana, at least medical marijuana, I've seen a 25% drop in addiction-related deaths.
Hello.
And a lot of that.
Which, what else would you attribute that
right
to?
Well, see, this, and here's another thing. I always hear people say that it's a gateway drug. Well, when you look at it from that study's perspective, it's almost like it's a gateway out
it's
of
a
drugs.
Gate exit.
Yeah, it's a gate exit. I mean, you know, anything can be a gateway to anything.
I've got a friend who struggled with he's got multiple sclerosis. He struggled with opiates for 12 years. He is now off opiates 100% because he can medicate medicinally with marijuana.
Right.
And it has made the biggest difference in the world to him, to his family, because they're no longer concerned about, you know, look, when you get on these opiates, because I've talked about my struggle with them when I had my, my back surgery back from 2010, 2014, I was on them. And it's a steady climb of building up a tolerance, having to take more to get the same sort of pain. Not aphrodisiac. Analgesic.
Wrong word.
Analgesic was the word I was looking
wrong
for.
Word.
All right, it was going to be a serious topic, and now I've completely botched it.
Oh, break out the doobies!
But yeah, he was Not while we're here together.
Okay.
So his life has been changed because there's no longer a fear of overdosing.
Right.
No longer a fear of getting to the point where, and this happens all the time in the opiate world, when you're getting prescriptions correctly from doctors, is because that tolerance builds up. Your doctor is saddled, probably in a good way, legally, by how much they can prescribe you. Your body, though, doesn't know that, doesn't care.
Your body wants to chase the dragon.
It keeps chasing. And I want to be – the dragon, it depends on what you mean by that, because I've told you before, it isn't – eventually you get to the point, opiate-wise, where you're not after the high.
You're just after feeling
good. You're after normal. You're after baseline, because without it, you go through these withdrawals within 4 or 5 hours sometimes where you feel like dying. You feel like you are, and you feel like you'd want to because you feel so sick. And it just – I've just seen too much pain. And we know in Kentucky how much pain that's causing. I think this is a way where – look, I have no doubt it could be a gateway drug.
Sure.
I have no doubt that it can be abused. I have no doubt there will be those who abuse it if we legalize it medicinally. But I think they're far, far to the ledger of good than it is the bad in this situation. Well, and what bothers me is we're so far behind again.
Yeah, we are. And I would look at it a couple of different ways. I mean, I've fielded these arguments. There was a guy that recently wrote an article in Premis, which is a great publication from Hillsdale College.
Okay.
And it was a very, I thought, well thought out, reasonable argument against legalizing.
Okay. Against legalizing medicinally.
Even medicinally.
Okay. All right.
Because he had, well, I don't know if, I don't want to speak for him. I don't want to say that he went as far as medicinally, but he was citing studies about Colorado and other states that have legalized it, where there's been an influx of car crashes and even crime.
Yeah.
But let me give an example of why he didn't convince me.
Okay.
As I read through this article, and I've gotten a lot of people that have emailed me and said, please address this, thinking that they had won the argument with me.
Right.
And I replied and said, there's a couple – I come at this from a couple different angles. Number one, most of the studies that he cited were epidemiological. What that means is there are studies that are hard to nail down because they are based on human behavior reporting. In the case of the crime studies, that's not the case. Those are hard facts.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
But one of the problems with the way that that study was presented was that it showed – correlation and not causation. When you take a study and you don't look at isolate it, you don't isolate it so that there's a control group, right?
Yep, right.
You lose the ability to have a an accurate outcome. So let's take Colorado, for example.
Yeah, which, by the way, I already, in a sense, in as far as the scientific method,
right.
If you don't have control,
then you don't have anything.
You don't have nothing.
Right. Let's take Colorado.
You don't have nothing. That's good English. You don't have anything. Thank you.
Let's take Colorado and Washington as the two examples.
Yeah.
Both states. Guess what? Two of the fastest growing population states in America right now because they legalized marijuana. There are people that are going there to smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Okay.
Is crime going up because of the marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Or is crime going up because the population is going up and there's more instances of it? Are accidents going up because the population is going up and there's more instances of it? The truth is we don't know.
Wouldn't there be a correlation of population growth and those accidents in the same way? I mean, shouldn't that have been a study? And maybe it is as well.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a study out there that's saying, no.
But
this there's evidence of this as well.
Right, but there's nothing separating it. And people who are trying to come down on one side of the argument and the other are using that and saying, look, there's more car accidents and more crime. Well, you're like, damn, there's more people.
Right.
So that's number one. So let's set aside that for a second.
Okay.
And I don't want to write the guy off entirely because I've told people that have sent this to me. I've said, look, I am entirely open-minded. Just as scientists are always finding out that the last theory they had was wrong, I'm open-minded on whether or not there is truly a benefit to marijuana. All the evidence I've seen now is that there is medicinally.
Yeah.
Mainly because our bodies are designed with receptors to THC.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a big clue there that it might have been intended as a medicine.
So.
Yeah. Secondly, though, I'll come back to this, and then I'll let you kind of chime in on this.
Okay.
But I err on the side of freedom.
Right.
Because when I hear a guy in Eastern Kentucky say, I had glaucoma.
Right.
A doctor told me to take it.
Right.
I was going to go blind. I'm already in a wheelchair. This is a true story. This guy's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair since he was 19. He's married, couple kids, sitting in a wheelchair. The only pleasure he gets from his current situation is that he can see his family.
Mm.
When doctors told him to start taking marijuana, the glaucoma went away.
Yeah.
It's at bay.
Mm-hmm.
And his pain is at bay.
Right.
And so he can enjoy quality time with his family. That is his experience.
Yeah.
Research aside, that is his experience.
Right.
The last thing I want to do is put that man in jail
right.
because I don't think he should be taking that. I'd rather him be on an opioid that dopes him up.
Right. And somehow the opiates are legal.
Yeah.
Still legal.
Yeah.
I mean, controlled, yes, but legal, yes. Look, and that's why I come down 50-50 on the recreational. I don't know. I can see, and I see both sides of that. I really only see one side of the medicinal.
Yeah.
I don't see the other side anymore. Now, I used to be, and this is what's fun about getting older and starting to, you know, you learn more and your mind changes about things. You know, you start, because back in, when I was in my 20s, I would very much have been against it because I'd see it as society just continuing to get worse.
Yeah.
When now, because of the studies, because of personal relationships with people whose life has been changed and in some sense safe devised. How about that word? You like that? I made
I
it
like
up.
That. Safe devised?
Safe devised. I mean, it made more made safer because they're using a less dangerous drug that's illegal instead of using a more dangerous drug that's legal. What sense does that make at all?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, right there. So I'm done right there.
Yeah.
Because I know personally, because I had a 4-year battle with opiates, and I'm not someone who wants to go out and smoke marijuana.
Right.
That's not why I argue this case. I just know how sickening opiates can make you. Now, is there a benefit to them? Yes. So I don't want to outlaw them. I want them still controlled. I want them tightly controlled. And I want, because there are people who need those.
Right.
I mean, there's 4th stage cancer that, you know, from my understanding, that's all, you know, this is the last limit, you know, as far as pain tolerance or pain medicine that this is what they have to have.
But let's dissect this, though. Like, let's go through each of the arguments, because I want to tackle recreational.
Okay.
I just want to tackle that because that's the hard one, right?
Yes, that is hard.
Some people are afraid to come out there
But you know what's weird? Before you get into that, something real quick that I think this is what's difficult for me, and maybe this is probably a direction you were going to go, but I just thought of this, and I've thought of this a lot. Okay, so company I work for, and I don't know what our company rule is on this right now, but company I work for, I think I can probably assume where it is, but we're in 37 states. We are in Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado.
Right.
We are in states where marijuana is legal. We also drug test new employees.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? Where because THC can be in your system for 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's you don't necessarily are showing up to work high, but if you smoke last 30 days and you have taken THC in some manner in the last 30 days and you fail that drug test. So my point is that because we're in a situation where the states independently are legalizing or keeping illegal, and you've got commerce across those states, now we're getting convoluted. Now we're getting into a situation where
that's going to have to be something the private sector deals with. I mean,
I understand, and it's something I'm sure
companies are going to have to decide.
I'm sure it's something our human resource department and our management is dealing with or dealt with.
Well, I could see a company saying, you know what, here's what we're going to do. If you need it medicinally, bring us your doctor's excuse.
Well, I mean, I assume they do.
If you want to do it recreationally, we're going to test, and we don't want you in here high. Yeah. So it's still their prerogative.
But you want to talk about recreation. So
well,
let's get back to that.
I want to tackle that because I want to go through the arguments that I hear against it.
Okay.
I, like you, was raised dead set against drugs, and I still am. Right. I don't want to smoke marijuana recreationally.
You won't even do caffeine with me.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah. It's true. I don't want to smoke marijuana. But let me say this to the people that don't want to legalize it recreationally.
Yeah.
The only difference between legal recreational marijuana and illegal recreational marijuana is this. You just want to put the people in jail who do it. Because the people who want to do it are already doing it.
Right.
There's not going to be that many grandmas walking around going, oh, it's legal now.
Right.
I've always wanted to try the Buddha. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Right? I mean, maybe once in a while.
Well,
but there's not
going to
be this huge rush into it. It's the same way I felt about the gay marriage legalization, right?
Yeah.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's a religious institution. It's between us and God.
Right.
That's my personal Christian belief. But when the Supreme Court said dudes can get married and you have to recognize it, I didn't wake up the next day suddenly attracted to my neighbor.
Right.
My male neighbor. I was still attracted to my hot wife.
Nor did it really affect you in any major way personally.
Right.
And I see
So people who are homosexuals who want to get married
right.
were already doing whatever they wanted to do. Why put the, you know, why criminalize that activity is my point. So I would err on the side of freedom. That's one of the arguments, you know, against it is that, well, it should be wrong. Well, a lot of things that should be wrong are already illegal. Well, people still do them.
And I was gonna say a lot of things are wrong.
Right.
But they're perfectly legal. This is where, and you and I've had this conversation
before.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah.
About where we get into, what was the thing I said a couple of days ago? Where we get into legislating morality.
Yeah, legislating morality.
Okay,
yeah.
And I realize there's some that should be done. Murder, I don't know many people who think that should be legal. As a matter of fact, I know none.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that we should legislate. But then there comes a point where we've got to hold back and say, and my issue with this particular, you know, as far as legislating, is I might even be more open to not making it recreationally legal.
Right, but decriminalizing it?
Okay. That's another, but if we would take a stronger stance against people who are struggling with, and it's a different thing because we're putting these people in jail.
Yeah.
If they're true addicts of whatever illicit substance they're abusing, if they're true addicts, jail is not helping them.
Right, right.
This is a healthcare issue.
Well, geez,
issue.
I'm addicted, but I think I'd rather have the withdrawal symptoms than being, you know.
Yeah, and there's a trade-off there. But, yeah. I mean, look, it is a slippery slope. I get it. It's tricky. This more than anything. This is probably, for me, the hardest episode we've done because I truly see both sides.
Oh, yeah, me
medicinally,
too.
I don't. I see one side,
right,
and
right.
I see
but on the recreational,
it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Logically, it's ridiculous that it's not legal medicinally. Recreationally, I'm 50-50.
Well, here's another one of the arguments they come at on this, okay? I hear this is the latest one, right? Because one thing that's happening with the legalization of marijuana, you're getting really intense strains of the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? They're getting scientific. They're allowed to do it now, so they're experimenting with it. They're not just being able to grow the plant in the woods and hope it survives.
Yeah.
They're now able to actually cultivate this stuff. But something that the drug cartels had been doing for years was that. And they had also been cutting marijuana with stuff. And so I get people that are saying, well, look at all these instances of people who went crazy or they killed themselves or they became panic or they became violent or whatever.
Right.
Most of the time what you'll find is if you track that back is that it was from one of those that was cut with some kind of chemical that is not the marijuana that was doing it is my point. The marijuana wasn't what made them crazy. The marijuana wasn't what made them go violent.
Yeah.
It was something else. This is where I come back to. If it's legal and I could, if I'm a consumer and I have a choice – and go over here to Mr. Nice Guys, you know, head shop or whatever. And they always have funny names like that, right?
Right.
I can go over here to Mr. Nice Guys head shop or whatever, and I can get a government regulated. I know that this has been taken care of from the process.
FDA approved, maybe?
FDA approved clean product.
Yeah.
Or I can go over here to Shady Bob on the street corner and get something that might be cut with who knows what.
That's another great point.
And I'm going to go over here and do this. I'm going to go get the healthy stuff, right?
Right.
And it may not be the
stuff
best.
That you know is pure.
Right. It may not be the
because
best.
This synthetic stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
When you argue that that is a problem, I say that's not an argument against legalizing it recreationally. Yeah. It's an argument of regulating it, of legalizing it, regulating it, and taxing it.
Here's the only part of that as far as recreationally, the only argument I don't like is, well, we're missing out on the tax revenue. Okay. Maybe, but I'm not. That's where I struggle to be willing to jump onto the complete other side of the fence,
right?
Because we want more money for our government.
Yeah,
because our government might have more money than they.
You don't want the government to seek bad behavior as a revenue source.
I think we've done that far too often in the past. We've looked for revenue sources in areas that, you know, it doesn't need. You know, gambling is another thing, and I'm 50-50 on that. Same thing is I don't know the truth, and I think a lot of it too is. Let's go back to where you said gateway drug. Yeah. Well, I learned about marijuana being a gateway drug from DARE when I was in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. Then I became a DARE role model once I got to high school and would go back to middle schools. That was a common theme. Well, I don't know the if there's any new research on that. I've heard both sides of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part of the struggling thing is recreationally, I don't know. I'm open-minded, though, and I'm willing to sit back and say, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Let's, you know. But God, it frustrates me to no end that medicinally, in Kentucky at any rate, we're going to be one of the last states again if we don't jump on board.
I
hate that we do that sometimes.
I don't want to harp on the recreational side. But again, I'll come back to this. I even if it's bad for you, I err on the side of freedom.
I know you do. And that's where and this is where you actually, in a lot of ways, have kind of brought me more along, as has my other friend who, you know, whether you want to throw the term libertarian out there or not, it's taking away freedoms is not a good thing. Well, overall,
yeah. And again, I go back to like,
especially if it's only gonna.
I saw a family walking out of a convenience store the other day. We'll call them the Waddles,
okay?
Because every one of them was over 300 pounds.
Yeah,
and the last one, the smallest one,
yeah.
I assume the youngest one.
Sure.
Whole bag, full size of Funyuns.
Yeah.
And a 44-ounce soda.
Right.
And they waddle over to their SUV, and right. they climb up into it, and off they drive.
Yeah.
The whole family has something like that in their hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's bad for that whole family. And sure. and you and me and the rest of everybody that's listening right now is going to be paying for that family's health care, even if they're not on government assistance.
Right.
We're going to be paying for it in higher premiums because right. they're in our pool.
Right.
Okay? So where do you draw the line at saying this behavior is bad,
yeah.
therefore I want it to be illegal and I want to throw you in jail for doing it?
Well, again, we go back to New York, right? Didn't they outlaw certain size sodas in New York?
Yeah.
I mean, so and look, at some point, we as – let's talk about our particular – we as Americans have to be trusted to make – the smart decision.
Yeah.
At some point, we have to trust in our families, our education, instead of our government to tell us what is right and what is wrong.
Okay, but here's where the argument gets complicated.
Oh, it's already complicated.
One of the things that they'll say is, well, this is a slippery slope. If you right. legalize marijuana, why not crack cocaine? And why not these other drugs?
If you legalize opioids, why not these others? Well, we haven't.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, and my answer to that is that I draw the line. A law should be something that protects me from you doing something to me and protects you from me doing something to you. That's all the laws we should have. The only laws that we should have ever in a free society is a law that keeps you from getting screwed by somebody else and that somebody else getting screwed by you. Okay. It just do the right thing per each other.
I had a ninth grade civics teacher who said it this way: the right to swing your fist ends at someone else's nose.
Yes. And that is essentially the point. Now, I have personally witnessed, because I grew up on the mission field, heavy drug area.
Right.
I have personally witnessed people who get high on cocaine, get high on crack, get high on meth, get high on these other things,
yep.
and become extremely violent to other people.
Yeah.
Or as we've seen lately, they pass out driving in their car in traffic with a kid in the back seat. That's damaging other people.
Right.
I have never seen anybody on marijuana smoke a doobie and punch somebody in the face. Never seen it happen.
Well, I don't know how many times I've ever seen people actually smoke a doobie. I love your 70s vernacular, though.
That's how much I'm around it. Because I'm not.
No, you said Buddha earlier. We're using words we've heard from like 80s rap.
From the 80s.
Rap songs.
Like the Saturday Night Live skit the other night. It's not the 80s anymore.
There is an innocence I think we both have with it, but then there's this other part of through association with other people.
Yeah.
Who, again, I don't know what to say about this one other than I understand both sides except the medicinally. I've already made that point or made that statement.
Yeah, sure.
I understand both sides of this. I see when I have people come up and they're surprised that because, you know, I basically grew up a teetotaler and still am to a large degree, surprised that I would be open to legalizing recreational marijuana. I get it. I understand why they are not.
Right.
I understand why I see both sides. I can't find myself going any further than 50-50 right now.
Right.
And that's why I want to see more studies done in Colorado, in California, and Wyoming.
And I think that's a respectable position. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing this is why I like the idea of starting with medicinal.
Right.
Because we can research it in a controlled situation. You know, if the scare tactics that they are saying about marijuana are true,
right.
then somebody who's a cancer stage 4 patient is taking this stuff, is going to haul off and hit some old lady at the grocery store. And then we'll know.
Well, that, okay.
But it's not going to happen.
But I thought you were talking about the opiates.
Like, if we legalize medical marijuana.
Yeah, okay.
And if everything, the scare tactics out there are, it's going to make people violent. Well, some patient is going to crash or something, and We're going to have it in a controlled setting, and we're going to be able to see what happens.
Well, and that very easily could happen. But this goes back to what you were saying earlier, and I didn't quite get it at first. But, yeah, I don't know anyone who gets high on marijuana in any way.
And punches
gets violent.
They don't.
Yeah, I don't see that.
They get, if anything, they get lazy and don't do anything
for a while. That's the other side of it, right?
Right, right.
And so, and I don't know.
But that's their
choice. Well, but again, we go back to, okay, so it's a check on your sobriety.
Yeah.
And it's a check on you being out amongst the public and being able to possibly do danger unwillingly because you're not being smart about being out. Okay, but again,
but
alcohol
we
is the same
trust
thing,
people,
and that's legal.
We trust people not to leave the bar drunk and get behind the
wheel. That's my point, is that that's already there. Yeah. Now,
and it still kills 10,000 people a year.
Is adding something else, another, I don't know what the technical term is, but something that affects your sobriety, is adding something else going to mean more? And that's why, again, I go back,
okay.
I want more studies.
Okay, here's how I would look at it.
Okay.
If I were to estimate, and you and I are not, and let's be a caveat here, you and I, neither of us are experts on marijuana.
No, I would not say so.
We're just a couple guys with an opinion, and hopefully
sure.
people download our podcast. But let's go with that. Let's say we legalize marijuana, and we go from 10,000 under the influence crashes to 11,000.
Okay. This is recreationally?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we, instead of putting 50,000 people in jail, those 50,000 people don't go to jail and don't get a I'm not talking about wrecks. I'm saying, in other words, let's weigh. We have 1,000 more accidents because of this, but 50,000 people who don't deserve one do not have a criminal record and are still productive citizens.
And can still get a job.
Which is better for society, right? I'll weigh that. And I'll say, I'm going to err on the side of freedom.
Yeah.
Because I can guarantee you this. From what I have read and what I have seen, you will not see a doubling of the accidents.
Right.
Most people who get high just stay home.
Yeah.
They're not going to go drive somewhere.
Yeah.
And usually when they do drive, they drive slow.
Very slow.
They
okay.
don't drive fast.
Well.
So, but here's another complicated. Let's talk about the faith side of this because you and I are both Christians.
Yep.
Excuse me.
And I definitely have an opinion on that part of it.
Well, I want to come back to this. And you and I were having this conversation actually yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If we're concerned about people doing things that go against our religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
which is don't do drugs, don't get drunk.
But let's talk about why that is. Because the Bible didn't say don't do drugs.
No. The Bible says don't get drunk.
Drunk. Right.
And so we're putting that in there.
Right. We're labeling it as, okay, so basically the Bible's saying be sober.
But you don't ever smoke marijuana to not get high.
My point.
It's just a taste.
So you smoke marijuana to get high. That's my side of it is basically so what the Bible is saying is, two things to me.
Right.
Be sober. Don't be controlled by anything other than
exactly.
Jesus.
But here's where I'm going with the faith angle.
Okay.
For those that want to legislate our faith, I say this. Don't worry about the law. Live your life in such a way that is so different from everybody around you that the people around you begin to ask you, what are you doing different?
Right.
Don't wait for a law to make you righteous because it never will.
No, that's the problem. And that's the thing. Of
all these people that are not smoking marijuana because it's not legal right now are not righteous.
Right. No. But so that goes back to it is, okay, so one of the things that – one of the reasons I was able to originally realize, okay, I am struggling with taking my medicine the way my doctor prescribes it. Basically, I was abusing the opiates I was being prescribed.
Right.
It's because I had two doctors and a mom and dad who all four said that. And when I realized, this is what really got me, is I realized I was being controlled by this stuff. Right. I was being controlled. I was not being controlled. I was not being led by the Spirit.
Right.
I was being led by this stuff.
Right.
That's what bothered me. And I completely agree with you. It's back to, it could be the gambling thing. Is that I'm 50-50 on that because I see both sides. But at the same time, legislating it is almost like, who are we protecting? Okay, are we protecting the kids? Maybe. That argument can be made. But at the same time, there's that freedom side of it that...
Yeah.
And this is so complicated to me because I am just, I don't know. I don't, there's so many things I have a hard stance on.
Yeah.
That because, and I've had a hard stance on since I was a kid. To me, this has changed in my life over the last 20 years. And what I've experienced personally and friends I've had experienced personally. And so that's why this is on both sides, recreationally and medicinally, having to do with faith is that, okay, my eyes have been opened more to this.
Right. And by the way, a correction, when I say that, those people that aren't smoking,
yes,
that aren't smoking marijuana, because
right,
they're not righteous because the law made them righteous.
Right. I know what you're
just
saying.
Just as we are not righteous because the law isn't what made us righteous. Right. It is the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so there are so many Christians out there who are righteous in God's eyes who are struggling with these things in their lives.
Absolutely.
Right now, fighting it. But my point is, live your life that you're so different that people ask you why.
The word is sanctified.
That is the only way we're going to reach people. The law is not going to reach people. And I have a passion for that point,
yeah,
because I want people to understand that, because I hear a lot of my Christian friends are arguing against this,
yeah,
as if somehow or another we're helping the kingdom of God by keeping all the doobie smokers at bay.
Stop saying doobie.
And it's not.
No, you're right.
We're not.
No. And that's the thing. Look, you know where let's look at this from the faith perspective. You know where the strongest Christians are in the world?
Where they're persecuted.
Where they're persecuted. No. Where there are laws against them. Well, this is a situation where we're making it, okay, we're trying to control the lives of other people and thinking that somehow makes our country or our state or a more righteous state.
Right.
And I realize that there will be more. There will be young people growing up saying, like, they'll be just like smoking is a bigger problem. You know, now the vaping thing's controlling that a little bit, but the smoking was a big problem amongst young people because once they turned 18,
yeah,
it was fine. Well, so if we do this, is that going to be a bigger problem amongst the kids? Because I do think there are kids out there that stay away from it because of the word illegal.
Right.
Who would dabble if it was legal.
There's also kids who won't do it because it's not illegal anymore.
Absolutely. Well,
to your point, you made an interesting point. I'm just kind of chasing a rabbit trail here, but you were talking about how the places where the laws are against Christians is where they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back to Jesus' time.
Thrive spiritually. Yeah.
Yeah. In Jesus' time.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the law was on their side.
Yeah.
The Roman government asked them, what do you want to do with this Jesus character?
Right. Yep.
They had sway in the government.
Yeah.
They could set their own rules per their religion.
In their country.
Right.
In some sense, yes.
And is there any way you can actually argue that was thriving faith because it was so ritualistic?
Well, that particular legalism that was going
on,
no.
Right.
You can't argue
and it's,
that.
It's, that's kind of my point. It's like,
but you can argue those that were immediately persecuted as a result of those
they
people,
thrived.
They thrived.
Jesus' ministry thrived.
Well, not
but,
just
I, but I'm just saying that the end result of a state created by people who are legislating things theocratically is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees had, and that ended in Jesus' death.
Keeping things illegal.
Well, and resurrection, obviously, which is a good thing.
Quote unquote sin. And
right.
I don't mean that quote unquote sin as far as what you and I believe. I mean, as far as if we've got listeners who don't hold to the Bible the way you and I do.
Right.
So we've seen this in every, is that keeping something illegal doesn't keep it from happening.
Right. Which is not an argument, by the way,
right,
to never make something illegal.
No. And that's where
that's
again,
it comes back to 50, who's 50, getting
I
hurt.
I don't know who's getting hurt. And
right,
is this something that, you know, is this something that needs to be more highly controlled, highly regulated? Again, I wish I could take a harder stance on the recreational part and say, no, I definitely believe this and this is why.
Right.
But I don't feel like I know enough to take an educated stance.
Right.
And that's where I land.
Okay, so that's where you land. So we both agree that we want to see medical marijuana legalized.
Yes.
You are 50-50 on recreational.
I am, yeah.
I would say that I am probably 100% recreational.
Okay.
Now, I will say that with some caveats. I'm open-minded that there still could be research out there that shows that marijuana, that people who are taking marijuana are hurting other people around them, and that there could be some logic behind that. But right now I don't see it. And so I'd say I'm 100% for it, but I'm 100% against people smoking it recreationally, in my personal opinion.
Mm.
Okay. But see, again, I'm not.
There's a difference there in what
difference
I believe and what I feel like our country should
right, because
be involved
I, my
in.
Personal opinion
and that's the way
is,
it should be.
Right. My personal opinion
which
is.
Makes it so hard.
My personal opinion is dudes can live their lives the way they see fit. But
yeah,
my personal opinion is only dudes and dudettes can get married.
Right.
That's my personal opinion with no ill malice towards those that disagree or believe otherwise to me. I don't want a law enforcing what my opinion is on those people. Same for
marijuana.
And
that goes back to you err on the side of freedom.
Right.
And I think in a large sense, for those of us who are Christians and those of us who are not, that is the safer long-term in most things. Right. Because I still go back to murder and stealing. And, you know, there are some things, yeah, the law needs to take a hard stance on.
Sure.
That. I mean, and that is a biblical thing as well.
Right, yeah.
God gave us government. Now, you and I have talked about, you know, where you stand, where I stand about many things about government overreach and how far is too far. And,
yeah.
And, you know, but there is a fine line that we have to find. Now, here's one thing I want to add on the end of this. My problem is when we look at someone who, and we do this in every part of politics, in every part, and we're worse today than we've ever been. And we've had this conversation on this podcast before about this very thing. But it goes into this as well. My problem is when someone looks at someone like you who says, I think, you know, my personal belief is, no, I wouldn't, or I wish they wouldn't, but I don't think it should be illegal. Someone who would be from our faith look at you and say, well, you're just enabling sin.
Right.
And even more so than that, and saying, well, there is a, you know, it's when we label people full of hate.
Right.
You know, it's what you're saying about the homosexuality thing and what you believe there.
Right.
Is that, it's say, well, if you had a different stance, the opposite stance is, well, yeah, you hate people. And that's what we do. Is if you disagree with me, then you're closed-minded, you're full of hate. Well, wait a minute. There are a few things in my life that I have that hard a stance on.
Isn't that one of the areas where we've gone wrong in the abortion debate? Not in standing against it,
yes,
because I am firmly against it.
But I'll tell you.
But the fact that sometimes those that argue, like, we throw around the word murderer.
Right. So cavalierly.
Cavalierly,
yeah,
without understanding the situation that the woman is in that made the decision. And while we may believe that wholeheartedly that it is a wrong decision,
yes,
to make,
and
there are two people involved in that decision.
That's right. And believe that it is murder.
Right.
Labeling somebody that
a murder,
openly,
yeah, that's
and
my point,
vocally.
Yeah.
And
yes.
What good is that doing?
Right.
When what we ought to be doing is saying, okay, yeah, I hope there is a law one day that outlaws this.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's still going to be women that struggle with that decision and make the decision.
Yeah.
And to the point where, okay, but there's still, and this is the thing, I think, I wonder something, we're getting off topic here.
No, sure.
We're in this, but we still have to have grace.
Well, I don't think we're
for that in particular. And
yeah.
I think, I wonder, I don't know. I wonder if we've struggled in that area, because we can be accused of not having grace when we actually do.
Right.
But that in particular issue is, I think about those women that are put in that position.
Right.
In all kinds of different situations. But at the same time, as you said, right before I interrupted you, is now we got two people involved.
Right. And I think that, I don't think we're getting off topic, because we're kind of where we kind of went with this conversation is, how should Christians deal with certain issues like this?
Well,
how should a Christian feel about legalizing marijuana?
Yeah.
Right. Because in a world where everybody's tribal.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right.
We think, oh, I'm a Christian, I have to go over here to this dot and
right,
stand right here.
Right.
Do you?
Yeah. No.
No. You know what I mean?
But and if you do, or I mean, if you don't.
Right.
Then now you're liable, because I think that this very thing, if in the world I live in, which is the world of ministry,
right,
if I say I'm 50-50 on marijuana, I can get labeled as, you know, a liberal Christian,
right,
which biblically
which
I'm
not.
Not.
You're absolutely
no,
not.
No, but you know, and so that's one of those things where, again, and I'll tell you that as I've gotten older, and I wish I could go back and have this kind of grace when I was younger, because when I was younger, I was more idealistic about certain things, and I'm still idealistic about some things, but that list is growing smaller.
Yeah.
Because I think my grace is growing greater.
Yeah.
Or the grace that I have for other people.
Well, doesn't
including
it,
myself.
Right.
For that
doesn't
matter.
It have to, as we get older, as we start to realize
well, because
our own faults?
You start to
wow.
see your sin above everyone else's sin.
I just think of Jesus with the prostitute.
Yeah.
And I think of how he handled that situation.
Well, everyone was a sinner in that situation.
Everyone was a sinner.
And he did not say anyone wasn't. Except
right.
He didn't label himself one. Right.
Exactly right.
He said, those who haven't, you go.
Right.
You cast first stone. But he also looked at her and said, what?
Well, he loved her.
Right.
And he said, go and sin no more.
Right.
But he loved her.
Yes.
And he loved her from the moment she stepped on
yes.
the scene. And this is what I think. Now we are off topic, but it's okay, because we can bring it back.
You can go back and edit this
well,
out if
we,
you want
no,
to.
No, no, no. We can bring it back, because I think it makes a point. Because the question is, how should Christians act in a world like today?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things happening around us that... I mean, these are not things that we were used to 40 years ago when we were raised up, right?
Yeah.
How do we respond to these situations? You respond with grace and love.
Yep.
And you keep living your life in a way that makes you different. The prostitute
yeah,
came
well
to Jesus.
Said.
Why?
That's well said.
Why did the prostitute
well, she
come
was
to Jesus?
Brought, she was brought
she
to him by those people.
Okay, but why was she brought to him?
Because
this guy was different. Right, yes. But this guy was different.
Well, and wasn't it also, and I feel bad now for not exactly knowing the exact scripture, but wasn't it also that they were trying to catch him?
They were trying to catch Jesus in a quandary. But he was different.
Right.
And they were trying to test
him.
Well,
and how he handled it.
Yeah. I mean, stumped him.
Which, that's what you get.
Yeah, but okay. So back to the whole point. Okay. You know, I think where we didn't really stray because this conversation.
Well, this is where this was going to go with you and I in particular.
Yeah, because it evolved into how should a Christian feel about these issues?
Yeah.
Well, you can feel one way about it. But I think we waste a lot of effort and time when we shout a certain thing.
Yeah.
And we end up chasing people away.
Yeah.
And we're not showing love from the moment. When they brought the prostitute to Jesus, the very first thing he didn't say was, hey, that's a prostitute. Get her out of here.
Right. Right.
That's not what he said.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I guess that's kind of my point is we're not arguing that if you're a Christian, you should be like, oh, go all in on.
No.
On herbal medicine.
No.
you know what I mean? I mean, it's so.
I think it's, look, it's take your stand.
Yeah.
But have grace for those who don't share your stand.
Absolutely. But I still think that we should not be advocating for laws restricting people's freedom.
So let's end it with this, because I think you said this perfectly, is that it goes back to the legislating morality.
Right.
Is that, however, whether the government does or doesn't,
right,
we should be living our lives that in one way does not cause our brother to stumble. The Bible's clear on that.
Right.
And in another way is sanctified, is set apart, is different, so that they see how we act and say, what do you have that I don't?
Great point. All right, so I guess I'm okay with legalizing marijuana. You're 50-50.
I'm 50-50.
We're both pro-medical.
Yes.
And at the end of the day,
what are we waiting on?
What you want to do is just try to show grace to those who might disagree with you. Because in my own personal faith, I'm not going to be smoking any marijuana.
No, you won't. Again, you won't do caffeine with me.
No, I won't do caffeine with you. So there you go. All right. Hey, fun episode. All right, that's it. I'm Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills, The Disruption Zone. And, of course, a big thank you to those who helped make this podcast possible, my co-host Cameron Mills, for all his work. And we appreciate Dynamics Productions in Lexington, dxaudio.com for all your production needs, for their help with production on The Disruption Zone. Many more episodes coming up. Big week next week, so make sure you stick around and stay tuned. Red flag laws don't work, and we've got the proof. Again, I'm Leland Conway, The Disruption Zone. Check us out on Twitter. It's at Zone Disruption or at Leland Show. And on Instagram, at Greatly Londo and at The Disruption Zone.